Welcome to the Pursuit of Bliss podcast. My name is Kristen. I'm a self-professed health, spirituality, and mindset junkie. You know that blissful happiness you feel when you're just at peace with yourself, living fully in the present moment? That's the feeling I believe we are all in the pursuit of. And I want to help you get one step closer by up-leveling your health, mindset, and love for yourself. Because that lasting and blissful happiness can only be found and created within. So get ready for all things mindset, holistic health, and spirituality. I hope this serves you. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome to another episode of the Pursuit of Bliss podcast. Today, I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this. I had a conversation with Kelsey. She is a clairvoyant medium who helps people find clarity and peace and purpose through her readings. And she helps her clients work through trauma and blockages so they're able to manifest in their lives. So she does somewhat similar work to me, but in a much different context, right? She uses different strategies and different methods to help her clients unblock their limiting beliefs and fears and the trauma to be able to learn to manifest what they actually desire in their lives. So we actually got really, really deep in this episode. Not only did we talk about trauma and unblocking limiting beliefs, but we also got really deep into intuition and spirit guides and spirituality and what a spiritual awakening really looks like, and what you can do if you're going through a spiritual awakening and you feel lost or alone, or you feel like you can't relate to anyone. Because this is the stuff that I wish I knew when I went through my awakening. So if you're interested in, you know, learning what a spiritual awakening is, how to navigate one, you're interested in learning what might actually be blocking you from manifesting the way you want, if you're interested in diving deeper into your own intuitive gifts and learning to embrace that side of yourself, this episode is for you. And I'm so excited for you to hear what Kelsey has to say, because she truly is incredible. So without further ado, here she is. So Kelsey, welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have you here. So thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course, I'm excited too. And so maybe I just kind of want to jump into it. But first, do you want to give like a brief intro on who you are and what you're all about?
Yeah, so I am a clairvoyant medium. And I really kind of take a trauma-informed approach to my readings a little bit. But I'm also clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, and I'm also a medium. So I can hear, feel, and see things. I get visions of things. I hear messages. I can feel people's physical pain on my body. I can see like colors of their auras, and I can communicate with deceased loved ones. So it's been quite the journey. It's been really interesting because I just started my business a little under a year ago. I'd say it's been about 8 months. But yeah, it's been really interesting because I always knew that I had these gifts, but I was kind of always just too scared to use them. And I didn't really realize how much power I really held within myself and how much I could really manifest into existence and kind of make all this happen, if that makes sense. So
yeah, it totally makes sense. And yeah. I mean, it's amazing what you're doing and the way you're using all of those, the gifts and abilities that you have to help others now. When did you make that switch of, you know, going from these are the gifts I have, or, and then turning that into your purpose? Cause I know a lot of people struggle with that, is, you know, finding their calling and finding their purpose and taking whatever unique abilities they have and actually offering that to others.
Yeah. For me, it was really difficult because, I actually used to work for the government and I hated that. That just was not for me at all. And you know, I had a good job and good degree, but I was just like, I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. And I knew that my soul, I mean, I would literally have like full-blown panic attacks before I would go to work every day. I was just completely miserable. And I basically just got really sick and tired of that. It was really my health issues that kind of pushed me out of that and got me into my purpose, to be honest. So it sucked, but it was like a blessing in disguise, to be honest. And to be honest, for somebody like me, it was very difficult to own up to my gifts at first because I was really embarrassed and I was really like, afraid that people were going to judge me at first, which I think any of us are, any people like me who have my type of gifts, we all kind of get worried that people are going to judge us, especially depending what area you live in. And, you know, I'm scared. But now I'm just kind of like fully embrace it. And I think once you kind of make that switch and consciously decide that you are going to live your purpose and make that change, your angels and guides and whoever, they will fully support you every step of the way. You'll never be, I mean, yeah, of course, you're going to doubt yourself here and there. Everybody does. That's normal. There's no such thing as being fearless. I always say work with fear, to use it as like a kind of driving force in a way. But they'll always kind of help you get to where you need to be once you kind of consciously make that decision of, okay, this is my purpose. I'm going to do whatever it takes to help other people through my gifts. And that was really my mission. And I think what really kind of started that was my own health issues and how much I suffered from that and other issues in the past. And I said, you know, I never want anybody to suffer as badly as I did. And since I'm able to pick up health issues from other people in my body, in addition to a multitude of other things, I was like, you know, I promised myself that once I got better, I would make it my mission to help as many people as I could. So that's what I've done so far. And it's really rewarding. So yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. And when you said, you said something about, you know, when you decide to actually start living in alignment with your purpose and your calling, your angels and your guides, like they're all on your side and they're helping you and things start happening. I got like full body chills because that was my same exact experience. It was like the second I decided that I was going to be authentic and step into my calling, no matter how scary it was, because I was scared of being judged too. I called it like coming out of the spiritual closet. I was terrified of it, right? But it's like once you do that, something switches and it's like, you know, the entire universe, all of your, everything has, you know, has your back. And it's amazing how things fall together. But I know that we really connected over, you know, our mutual love of manifestation and, you know, all of that. So I know you're a really powerful manifester. Tell us some more about, you know, your experience with manifestation and how that's played out in your life.
So for me in the past, I would like try to, like, before I really began following my purpose, I would try to manifest things and they either A, would not happen, or B, they would take like way longer than I anticipated. And then I would get let down because I'd be like, well, why is this not happening as fast as I want it to happen? And really one thing I've discovered from doing so many readings and, you know, just the line of work that I'm in. And I'm sure you probably have noticed this as well, is that in order to manifest things at rapid speed, you have to remove any type of trauma blocks that you have, whether that's emotional trauma, mental trauma, physical trauma, sexual trauma, whatever. And everybody has trauma. Trauma is not like, okay, somebody went to war, they have PTSD. No, trauma is for everybody has trauma, whether it's, it's a huge scale of it. And trauma can be something as simple as, you know, a bad breakup, a divorce, a dog dying or something, you know, whatever. Everybody's dealt with it on some level. And if we keep those traumas in and we don't do any shadow work or any type of inner child work and work through them, then really what it's doing is it's blocking us from manifesting what we want into existence. So really, I wasn't able to manifest what I wanted into existence until I did the work. And for somebody like me, it was terrifying because I don't know if you're familiar with the attachment styles, but I was always an avoidant attachment style in the past. Avoid. And anybody who's listening, if you're an avoidant, it's hard because you just want to, like, when something comes up from your past, you just want to ignore it and, you know, mask it with something else or go keep busy, something like that. But, you know, it's really important to not avoid and to actually sit with it and work through it so that way you can remove those blocks. Because now that I've removed them, and I've seen this with my clients as well, when we work on removing their blocks, they're able to manifest things that they want like that. And then all of a sudden things kind of slowly start aligning and falling into place. And they're like, wow, how did this happen? And I'm like, because we removed the blocks. So I always say, like, removing blocks equals alignment, which equals manifestation, which equals abundance. And it's really important too to have an abundance mindset instead of scarcity mindset. I think a lot of people have a scarcity mindset. I used to be the same way. And a lot of people think that they don't deserve to make X amount of money or X amount of clients because then they feel guilty. I used to be one of those people.
Me too.
Yeah, and it's hard, especially if you, you know, depending on your upbringing. And me personally, I grew up in a very traumatic household. And so, you know, I that was my mindset for the longest time. But once I started to remove those blocks and manifest, it kind of all fell into place. And I started to have this abundance mindset and started to do a lot of meditations with like visual meditations of like envisioning money flowing into me, like abundance of everything. And so, yeah, it's just really fallen into place that way, to be honest. So.
Yeah, no, I totally resonate with that because I think we do very similar work, but in very different ways, I think.
Yeah.
And I said the same thing. It's like manifestation is innate. It's natural. Yeah. You know, children are amazing at it, but we build up so many blocks and fears and doubts and limiting beliefs. Like, am I worthy? Am I capable? Yes. Am I good enough? Right. Yeah. And so once you clear all of that shit out of the way, it becomes really easy and natural. Yeah. And it's really amazing to see. So I love, like, this is so juicy. I love that this is the work that you do. So, I mean, how, for anyone listening, I know you said trauma can be anything. It doesn't just have to be something really, you know, what society typically, you know, tends to call traumatic. So if for anyone listening, how can you know what your personal trauma is that you need to work through that may be blocking your own manifestation abilities?
That's a really good question. I've actually never been asked that. Really, really good question. So I would say anything that you feel like when you think of it, it either makes you feel anxious or makes you feel fearful, or makes you avoid, like any of those, that's usually a sign that it's some form of trauma. And again, I really wish that trauma was a more recognized thing. Unfortunately, it's just so, in my own personal opinion, so misdiagnosed. I feel like it's just only certain people are diagnosed with it, and then other people who have trauma, it just kind of gets like swiped under the rug. It's like, oh, it's just anxiety, depression. Well, because it's coming from trauma, like, you know, duh. Mm-hmm, and for me, I've been through a lot of trauma in my life, a lot of domestic violence, sexual assault, things like that. So for me, you know, I understand it on a very deep level because of that. And I do have PTSD myself, but I try not to like let that define me, you know, I used to in the past. But I think for anybody who's listening, anything that when you think of it and when you go back to that situation in your mind mentally and think of it and it brings up any type of like anxiety, panic attack, fear, anger, rage, any of that, that's some form of trauma that has not been worked through yet. And when we don't work through those, what happens is they end up manifesting themselves as dis-ease in our body. So if you break up the word disease, it's broken up as dis-ease. And a lot of times it can manifest itself as autoimmune diseases or conditions or things like that. And I'm kind of speaking from my own personal experience on that, but I've seen that with a lot of clients as well. And until we're able to really remove the blocks and work, you know, clear the chakras, then their symptoms start to subside after that. So it's really interesting.
Yeah. It's so interesting because the way I see it is, you know, rage or anxiety or fear, all of these emotions that we judge as like quote unquote negative, all they are triggers to let us know that there's something there underneath that is crying to be healed. That's all it is. You know, it's like totally this built-in system that we have to let us know, you know, when we're on or off track, when we need to heal something so we can move forward towards the life that we actually want, which is why, you know, this, and you, like you said, like this stuff, it's hard to work through the trauma and stuff that we avoid or we push down because we don't want to feel it. But that's what it takes. You know, people want to manifest amazing things and they're excited about it and they're, oh, I'm going to manifest money and, you know, a vacation home, but they don't realize that means that you got to do this really scary inner work.
Right. I totally agree. I think a lot of people don't realize that. They're just like, oh, I'll manifest whatever I want. They're like, no, you're going to do the work first.
Exactly. And I know you talk a lot about doing inner work and shadow work. And what exactly, you know, I hear shadow work thrown around a lot. What does that mean to you? And what does that look like?
It's a really good question. So kind of like backtracking on what you were saying a minute ago about, you know, all these anger and fear, all that is viewed as like negative, but it's really not. So this is the thing. Society makes us think that we have to be perfect and we have to be happy at all times. And we're not allowed to be angry. We're not allowed to be fearful. We're not allowed to be this and that because it's viewed as like negative or bad, but that's not realistic. And the more that we run from those feelings, the more that we avoid them, the larger our shadow side grows. So your shadow side is really like your dark side. Everybody has a dark side. And there's anybody who is like positive love and light did not become that way without facing the dark side first. And if they tell you that they did, I'm sorry. So, I'm very realistic. facing that dark side of yourself and really just digging deep into that. What, you know, saying to yourself, what is my dark side? What is that side of myself that I'm so terrified to face? And I always tell my clients, and I've even done this myself in the past, to write it all out and read it aloud as you're writing. So that way it clicks in your subconscious also and kind of retrains your neural pathways a little bit as well. It's a little bit of neuroplasticity. But yeah, because the more that you hold in, the more it's going to manifest as disease in your body. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not just disease in your body, but disease in your life.
Yeah. Oh my God,
Yeah. Everything that you hold in that I truly believe that you don't let out and transmute, it all manifests. I mean, every single inch of our lives, we have manifested 100%. And I think once you're able to truly, you know, empower yourself and take control of that and really say that I've manifested all the good and the bad in my life, then it gives you that power to change anything you want about your life. But first you have to take ownership of it and understand that, yeah, there is a part of me that created this part in my life. Now, what is that part of me? Right? Let me actually face that shadow side of me and work with it.
Yeah, like taking accountability is so important because I think a lot of people don't want to take accountability. I used to be the same way because we're trained not to in society. We're trained to just be like, oh, just avoid it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It'll go away on its own. And it doesn't. And it's like, well, that's not really realistic. So. Exactly. Yeah.
A million percent. I love that you're on the same page with this. This is just like so good. And I really hope everyone listening is just like taking notes, because what you said about writing down your shadow side and reading it aloud from what you say from your light side, or I don't know exactly the word.
So like writing down every part of your shadow side. So basically any dark part of yourself that you're not really willing to face, write it down. And read it aloud as you're writing it. And one thing that's really helpful too, I always tell people, is to make lists. So you can make lists of whoever you feel like you have any resentment toward, any fear, anger toward, X, Y, Z. I always say make lists. And I even do this myself. Like, let's say, for example, if I get an argument with someone and I'm busy on the go throughout the day, and I don't have pen and paper with me to like make a list or write this out, I literally will put it in my those of you who are iPhone users, I don't know if Android has this, but it has like a notepad in it. I will literally type it out in my notepad, just make a list of how that person made me feel, and I'll read it aloud. I like literally will do it like in my car on the go. So that way, but this is the point I'm trying to make here, is making these lists and listing that person's name and saying so-and-so made me feel, and boom, 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 you know, fearful, used, disappointed, sad, hurt, whatever. As you're writing those out or typing them out and reading them out loud, it will start to click in your subconscious. I always tell people to make lists and just write everything out that they need to with regard to what they feel their dark side is and what they feel that they've been
reading. Yeah, that is so powerful. And yeah, if you're listening, like seriously, like don't just listen to this and be like, oh yeah, that sounds cool. Like actually do this. Kind of work is so transformative, and it seems so silly or easy, but even just writing things out, like I do this stuff for myself, you know, I'm always consistently working on forgiveness work. And, you know, it's like when you write out those emotions and you allow yourself to actually feel them and get them all out rather than judging yourself for having them, it is freeing. It is so freeing. And, you know, like we said before, you know, people want the magical part of manifestation, but this is the stuff that most people don't want to do. And it's why most people don't end up manifesting what they want. Because yes, you have to do the forgiveness work and you have to do all the shadow side stuff. Yeah. So I love that you deal with this stuff. And I know that you talk a lot as well about, you know, alignment being equal to your manifestation, which equals your purpose, and how everything is kind of tied together. So maybe someone who's listening who is new to manifestation or this whole world and this vocabulary, what does being in alignment really mean to you?
Really good question. I've actually never been asked that before. That's a great question. So alignment for me means, I'm trying to think of how to word this. Really just kind of putting all the puzzle pieces together and everything falling into place, like in alignment as it should. So for example, in my past, before I had done the shadow work or inner child work, as you were saying a little bit ago, like it, your whole life will become chaos. Oh yeah. I mean, it was mm-hmm. like projecting into my life. Every aspect of my life was a complete, just like mess, like hot mess. I mean, friends, jobs, you name it. It was just a wreck. And, because everything that was on the inside was just reflecting on my outside. Mm-hmm. So now that I'm in alignment, things are much more smooth. I mean, you know, things happen still randomly. I mean, or, you know, nobody's perfect, things happen. But I'm much more in alignment now, so things are much more calm and much more just kind of flow with ease, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And any opportunities that I manifest happen like that now. So yeah, just really kind of those puzzle pieces falling into place and falling in alignment, if that makes sense for the listeners.
To me, it totally does, because I mean, for me, a big part of alignment is exactly as you described it. And also for me, it's being really authentic and kind of like being one with your own highest self and one with your own authenticity and really authentic in the way you show up in your life and really authentic in the way that you speak and think about yourself and show up to your own feelings. And, you know, it's truly just being authentic and allowing those puzzle pieces to fall into place. And so, I think it's really important, because that word I know is thrown around a lot in the manifestation or spirituality world. You got to stay in alignment. You know, if you're out of alignment, oh, that's bad news. But it's like, what does it mean? Yeah. And really, like, to me, it's just being authentic with yourself. And just like you said, it's like when the puzzle pieces start to fall into place. But I truly believe that happens when you start to align with yourself authentically and you follow what you truly want on the soul level, not just on, you know, a surface level. And I think that's really key to being able to manifest, is being really, really authentic in your life in every way possible.
No, yeah, I totally agree. I feel like you explained it much better than I did. Like, that makes a lot more sense than what I said.
All I did was build off of what you gave me.
But no, I mean, I preach authenticity as well. I mean, I'm a very authentic person, and I try to be very authentic with all my clients and anybody I talk to. And, you know, and I end up, because of my authenticity, I feel like I attract very authentic clients as well. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's listening who may own their own business or trying to start their own business or whatever, you'll find when you become in alignment that you will start to attract better clients, and you'll actually start to attract clients that are like on your level. What I mean by quote unquote level is, like, they have the same mindset as you, they view things the same way you do. You know, it's their vibration is at the same frequency as yours, things like that, when you become in alignment. And you'll start to notice it, because before I was like in full alignment, I would say, I don't know. It's night and day from what I attracted back then to what I attract now.
It makes total sense in what you're saying about now you attract clients, you know, like your ideal clients, and like truly everyone that you attract to you, it's just a reflection of your own inner world. Like, you're manifesting what you are, right? At, you know, some level. So if you're listening to this and you're manifesting people in your business or just in your life who are not quote unquote in alignment or the kind of people you're wanting to attract, once again, that's just an invitation to look within in your own inner world and say, all right, like, what part of me is reflecting in this relationship or this client that I've attracted, right? What part of me actually needs healing that is being reflected back to me? Like, our relationships and our clients, everyone we attract into our lives are just a reflection of our own inner world, which is, when I first got that, I was just like, what?
Yeah, like, mind blown, right?
Yeah, blown away. Yeah. So it just
times where, like, I thought that I had worked through something and then I attracted someone who was reflecting something back to me. I was like, oh, I guess I didn't work through that.
Exactly. No, exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah. So it's like when you're attracting, just to go off the example you started with, you're attracting a client that, I don't know, don't want to pay you or who are giving you trouble. All that means, like, that rather than looking at this as, oh, like, why am I attracting this? Why is this client in my life? Look at it as, you know, be happy that they showed up, because they're showing you what needs healing within you. Right. And so that is something positive. If you can turn it around and create growth and healing and evolve out of that situation and then move forward and be able to actually attract people who are in alignment with your own authenticity. So I think that was, I'm really glad you brought that up. I think that's really, really important. Bless you.
Yeah, sorry.
I also want to talk a little bit about, you know, tapping into your intuitive nature. And I know that you are really, really in touch with your intuitive side. And that's just, yeah, such a unique, amazing part of you and the work that you do. But, you know, for anyone who's listening, like, do you believe that everyone has that ability to tap into that intuitive side of them?
I do, actually. I believe that everybody has the, I believe that everybody is intuitive, 10,000%. But here's the thing. So society kind of brainwashes us to be like asleep, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And I made a post on this recently about 3D versus 5D consciousness. And right now we currently live in 3D, which means kind of augmented reality. What I mean by that is, like, in 3D, we think that we don't have the power to manifest or create our own reality. And we are basically controlled by, like, the government and everybody, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And they're the ones who keep us asleep. And whereas with, like, 5D consciousness, it's, we realize that we have the power within ourselves, and the power has always been within ourselves, and that society in general, or I would say more so the government kind of, is trying to silence us and make us be as asleep as possible, because they don't want us to be awake. Because once we're, like, awake, we're going to find out all the corruption, which many people have already, and I feel like it's more and more people are becoming awake. But my point here is, I do firmly believe everybody is intuitive. It's just a matter of how, like, asleep or awake they are. And once you start to catch on to, like, all the corruption and things like that, I feel like you become more awake, and then your gifts kind of slowly start to develop from there on out. And we're already transitioning into 5D. That's why you're starting to see more holistic approaches become mainstream, such as, like, CBD, celery juice trend, yoga, meditation, even readings. I mean, it's much more mainstream now than it was a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
All of it. Yeah, and it's only going to become more and more mainstream from here. And you're also starting to see now people kind of, you know, going more of a holistic doctor route as well. People don't really want a pill to fix them anymore. They want to get to, like, the root cause, or they want to treat it holistically, which is great. I think that's amazing that so many more people are waking up, and you'll start to see, or we've already started to see, in my opinion, more and more, like, empaths and light workers and highly sensitive people, HSPs, for those of you listening who want to Google it. Because we're slowly shifting into that 5D paradigm, and it's probably going to be, I don't know, probably it's going to be a while till we, like, fully get there, but we're making some changes so far. And I truly think that eventually, years to come, I mean, I'm talking, like, probably 40 years from now, who knows, maybe longer, I don't know, mm-hmm. who knows, but you know, I truly think eventually we'll all be able to use our gifts, and we'll all kind of be like, that's what I hope for, that's what I want.
Me too. And yeah, I've heard that kind of same thing from, you know, a few different people, and
yeah,
it's really interesting, because I've had somewhat, you know, the experience you're talking about, where going from, like, that 3D being, like, quote unquote asleep, yeah, and slowly waking up and realizing there's so much more than just what we physically see, and slowly getting in touch with my own intuition and realizing that I have that side of me, and I have an intuitive nature, and I have a connection to something greater than myself, and I have, yeah, spirit guides and all of these, yeah, things that it's like, you know, stuff that seems so crazy if you would have asked me 3 years ago. And so it's really life-changing when you're able to start tapping into this, which is why I love talking about this stuff and making, yeah, it more commonplace and less, yeah, woo-woo crazy. As some people might think listening to something, yeah, like this, especially if you're where I was a few years ago. But let's say, you know, someone's listening and they're like, I really want to start, you know, tapping into my intuition more, or awaken my intuitive gifts, or, you know, just be more open to that side of me. What kind of advice would you give them?
Cut out everyone and anything. And I know this may sound a little dramatic, but this is what helped me. and I think it, and to be honest, I think if you really want to, like, really full blown hone in on your gifts and start using them, you have to cut out any person, job, situation, family member, foods, whatever, that is toxic. Anything, mm-hmm, toxic has got to go, because the longer you keep those toxic people in your life, they're just going to keep blocking your intuition, because you're always going to listen to them over trusting your own intuition and yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking from pure experience here. And, so that, removing anything, anyone, everything toxic and also removing the trauma blocks as well. But, you know, I think too, this kind of goes hand in hand with the spiritual awakening, which I'm sure you've been through as well. Mm-hmm. It's quite terrifying, but well, I think it differs for everybody. But, you know, when you're going through your awakening, and for anybody who's listening, it does become very lonely because you do kind of end up not even intentionally cutting off people. They kind of just start falling off like flies because mm-hmm. they're no longer in alignment with where you are or where you're going, because your purpose is much bigger and you're going like up here. Well, that doesn't make sense. But you know what I mean? Like you're going way light years away here, much above that. And, you know, they just start to fall off and it gets really lonely. Yeah. I remember mine. I was like, I became suicidal during mine. It was really bad, but now I see looking back that it was all for a bigger purpose and it was all to do like what I'm doing now. So it's really cool.
Yeah. And I'll touch on this too, but I'm curious what your take on it is. I mean, say someone's going through this experience and they feel lonely, because I actually have a lot of people message me who are going through this like almost secretly, and they don't feel like they can relate to friends and family anymore, and they feel so alone, and you know, they want advice, like, what do I do? I just want people who understand me or who are going through the same thing, and why can't I relate to my friends and family? And this is common that I receive messages like this. And so, you know, what would you say to someone who's in that place of going through this process of redefining what their life means to them and feels like they can't relate to anyone? I mean, what do you do at that point?
That's a really good question, because I to anybody who's listening, I actually went through the exact identical thing. I could no longer relate to anybody in my family or my friends, and they all thought I was insane. They actually thought I was like on drugs, which I was before that, but then I stopped. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it does get very, very lonely. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. And I think what's really important is trying to find whatever support system you can, whether that's getting on Facebook and finding a support group. There's a group that I'm in on Facebook called, I can't remember the name. I think it's called like Empaths, Introverts, and Old Souls or something like that. On Instagram, finding that support system. Mm-hmm. So even searching hashtags that say the same thing, you know, search hashtags that say like empath, HSP, highly sensitive person, light worker, and unfollow any account of people who make you feel less than, like any type of people who, you know, are just out partying every weekend. And I'm not judging that per se. I'm just saying, you know, anybody who makes you feel less than, unfollow them and just try mm-hmm. to find that support system. Yeah. And you'll find once you start putting out, you know, the people that you followed who were doing things that weren't aligned with you, you'll start to kind of attract more of your support system through social media. Because I think mm-hmm. social media in general just gets such a bad rap, and it's just like, social media is so negative. But to be honest, I've had quite the great experience because I found my support system through here, to be honest. Yeah. I never had a support system really. And especially when I went through this, I mean, my family and friends, they thought I was nuts. So to anybody who's listening, trust me, you're not alone. I mean, I was called every name you can think of. They thought I was legit insane. So, but I really got my support system here on Instagram, to be honest.
It was the same for me. Yeah. Instagram is amazing. I've attracted so many amazing, like, soulful friendships and relationships. Yeah. And I truly think that you're only alone as you believe you are. And you know, it's our, as I always believe this in every aspect of life, your thoughts and beliefs are creating your reality. So if you believe you're alone, you're going to continue to attract loneliness and lonely experiences. Yeah. But like I said, I think number one, it's important to get in touch with yourself and learn to enjoy your own company and get really close to who you actually are. And then two, like you said, you need to make space. You need to get rid of the toxicity so the new relationships have room to come into your life. You know, if you want to manifest an amazing relationship or amazing friendships, you have to stop spending all of your time and energy on the toxic ones. And and like I said, you're only as lonely as you decide to be. So when you're ready to start attracting those soulful friendships or relationships, that soul family into your life, they will show up for you. Like, speaking from my own experience going through the same, I feel like we both probably had a similar experience. You know, when you finally make that decision, like, you can manifest the amazing, soulful, like-minded friendships into your life, but you first need to make space, and you also need to be able to enjoy your own company and learn to love that time on your own and get to know who you really are once you've started to let go of the blocks and work through the trauma and, you know, all of that stuff. It's like it can create this identity crisis. And
It's almost like you become reborn when you remove all that. I I know for me, when someone did my awakening, I said, I called it my rebirth, and my friends were like, you're crazy. And I'm like, oh, no, it was like, it was my rebirth. And it was. Yeah. So to anybody who's listening, you're not crazy. You're not psycho, whatever. You're literally just awakening. Okay. So, again, I wish I could remember the exact name of that support group on Facebook, but I believe it's like empaths, introverts, old souls or something. And
yeah.
Just search those hashtags on Instagram as well. And you'll start to attract your soul family.
Exactly. And seriously, there's so, I mean, you're never alone. There's a million different ways really to meet people. And so incredible. But I guess last thing here, I'd love to know, I mean, what would just be your number one tip or takeaway that you would really want anyone listening to take away from listening to this or, you know, move forward applying this to their life?
Just to know that you're not alone, like I was saying a minute ago, and to know that no matter what you are going through, it will get better, and just have faith in that. And I know that sounds so cliche, and I know it sounds so like, oh, I've heard this so many times or things like that, but it really will. As long as you stay committed to your purpose and your path and keeping everything toxic out of your life and really just doing the best that you can, because once you start to make that decision that you no longer want that life that you once had, your guides will support you. Mm-hmm. Your guides, your angels, whoever you pray to, believe in, whatnot, they will support you fully. So please know that even if it feels like you're in a black, deep, deep, dark hole, I've been there. I'm sure you've been there as well. When you see people on Instagram who are like loving life, even people like myself, please know that we did not come from a perfect background. Mm-hmm. Okay. And even me, I mean, I went through hell and back, hell and back, hell and back more times than I can count. So please know that a lot of these people you see on Instagram are, you can relate to them more than you would think.
Mm-hmm.
And that just because you are in a spot that may not look like what they're in right now doesn't mean that they're not also in that same spot or that they also haven't been there. Mm-hmm. So trust and believe that you're not alone, for sure.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. I got chills. I love that. It's so true. Yeah. Your shadow side is your friend, and everyone has one. If people want to find you or connect with you, what is the best way for them to reach out or to find you on social media?
Okay. So my Instagram handle is KelseyCrystal_. So it's KelseyCrystal_. And Crystal is my middle name, by the way. And then my website is linked in my bio, but it's www.KelseyCrystal2.com. So KelseyCrystal2.com. So yeah.
Perfect. Amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. That was so valuable. And I love where that went. I wasn't expecting it, but I love where that went.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I think that, you know, I kind of like to let the conversation go wherever it needs to go, because I believe that the people who are listening need to hear whatever comes up for us. You know, it comes up for a reason. For sure. So I'm sure there's people who needed to hear that. And just thank you so much for holding that space and being so open and, I really appreciate you and everything that you brought to this.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. And I hope to whoever's listening found this helpful. And please know again that you're not alone. So, I mean, you're really not. Please know that. So.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you so much.